this morning, chapter 34, but first, just to show where we are, because chapter 34 is not a good place. So there's going to be a little correction going on here, but we see when folks and when things, when situations get in a place where God isn't honored, where God isn't glorified, where the world instead kind of takes over, we see what happens. We see the judgment that comes. We see the liberal concepts and everything else come into place, and we just see the result of that. And I've got a little blurb here from The Blaze, which is just a resource that I use once in a while. It says, grade 8 students in East Sussex, so this is our state, hello. They were subjected to a class on life education. There is no education in this. It's just what they call it, just to confuse you completely. And it was on June 16th, during which they were told they can be who you want to be, and how you identify is up to you, reported the Telegraph. Seizing upon the invitation to become who she wants to be, one student asked a classmate, how can you identify as a cat when you're a girl? Common sense, right? The teacher. For questioning a classmate's attempt to self-dehumanize, the 13-year-old was subjected in a verbal thrashing by her teacher. Where sin abounds, grace can abound, but where sin abounds, those that don't know grace fall into it. The teacher ultimately told the student she was despicable and informed her that if she didn't agree with the gender ideology being foisted upon her, she needed to go to a different school. This is our state, right? Unable to dominate the debate, the teacher signaled a desire to oust the debater, telling the student that she is in need of a proper educational conversation about equality, diversity, and inclusion, and no longer belongs at the school. Help us, Lord. Keep praying for our kids. Keep praying for the schools. Keep praying for the teachers, the Christian teachers that are there, would just have an influence upon the kids that are there. And it just it is amazing what we've come to when God's hand is off a nation. The place that the nation goes to looks just like that. And it's scary, but we know the God who's still in charge. So keep looking up. Don't look around and get discouraged and get so disappointed that you can't move, that you walk in fear. Don't fear. He says, fear not. He's still God. He's still in charge. He's still leading. It's just that the people need to know who Jesus is. And you're the witness. We're the witness in this world. So prepare yourselves. Prepare your hearts. So Genesis chapter 34. Wade and Bill took forever. So I only have 5 minutes left to read all these verses. Okay, you know that's not going to happen. All right. So it's a bad place that we're going to, but it says this in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Be in that place where we do that. But it also says in that same chapter, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, as we see that Jacob is going to do that this morning, shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's what's going to happen, and that's what's happening to our nation, and that's what can happen to us if we walk away from the things of the Lord. Stay strong, stay steady. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And you can experience part of that now. You don't have to go through the rest of your days not knowing the Holy Spirit, not knowing who Jesus is. You can walk in truth and experience the joy, the peace, and the strength that God has for you now. And that's our encouragement today, I think, as we go through this. I had to preface the chapter because it's a hard chapter, and I had to deal with it all week long, so you're going to get it now. So it says, in Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob. Remember, she had some sons, and then it finally said that she had a daughter, and her name was Dinah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And you really need to pay attention to the verse there, because look at what she did. It says that she went out. She didn't stay in the place that was necessary. She went out on her own. She went out to see what was going on in the world. And that is a hard place to be. And we all get tempted by the glitz and the glitter of the world. But boy, the better place for us is to stay in that place where the Lord is, to stay in that place that God has for us, and to stay true to his word. It tells us this in Titus 2, verse 5. Well, pick up in verse 4. It says that, we'll go back to 3. Should we just do the whole Bible? We got time. Verse 3 says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to be wise in a sense, to love their husbands, to love their children. Isn't it amazing we have to learn how to love? But when you got the one who loves us the most because he first loved us, then we've got the greatest teacher of all. And he can teach us how to really love. Because the only love you're going to find out in the world is just the world's love, and that's not really love. That's lust. His love is so much different. It's self-sacrificing. It's self-giving. And he goes on and says, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And that's what the Lord wants for us. But here's Jacob. Remember, he's been in the land. He's come back. Remember the chapter before he meets Esau? And we think, well, it's just a chapter before, so they just met. He just went to this other land. He's been in the land now for about 7 years. And it doesn't speak once of prayer, of him building an altar, of him going to a place. It talks about him building an altar to El Bethel, but he just wanted the blessing of God without really worshiping God. The altar that he built was one of self-will. He just wanted the religion and the name and the blessings of it without knowing the God of it. And that's a dangerous place to be. That's almost as dangerous as not being saved. Because then you're deceiving yourself into thinking that you're okay when you're not okay. As the Lord said to me once, you're not all that, so get over it. I think my wife picked up on that and told me it's the same thing. I don't know. It's just it seems to be repetitious in my life. but she goes out to see. She goes out to experience what the Lord had. Not what the Lord had, but what the world had. And it wasn't a safe place. Remember, Jacob was not supposed to be there. A couple of chapters before, the Lord tells Jacob to go to Bethel, where he first met the Lord on his way to Paddan Aram when he was going down to see Uncle Laban, who was as much of a deceiver as he was. And the Lord told him to go back, not just once, but a few times. When he was coming out of Paddan Aram, the Lord told him to go back to Bethel where I met with you. He comes back in, and he goes to a different place. He's in self-will right now. That's why there's no mention of prayer, because he's okay with himself. I got an altar. I'm okay. No, you're not. You're in a church building, but I hate to tell you, this isn't the church. You're the church. And Corinthians tells us that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the building of God. This building is just something that we use because the Lord's given it to us so that we can come together and worship. If this wasn't here, the doors are open at our house. Come and see. Because wherever you are, the church is. Because you're the church. This building is just being used for it. The trouble is, a lot of churches in America, the church building, that's all there is. Because Jesus isn't with them. Don't be deceived that if you don't have Jesus in your heart as Lord and Savior, you're not the church. You don't have church. You can play church, but you're not the church. You need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and it needs to be solid, especially in the days that we're in. we are going down the tubes quicker than I've ever seen anything. I thought it was bad in school when I got caught doing stuff. But boy, the stuff I was doing is nothing compared to what's going on in school now. And you guys had it made when you were in school, because when you went to the principal, you just saw the principal. When I went to the principal, I saw my mother, because she was the secretary to the principal. Got it all over the place, because once he was done with me, I had her, and then I had Dad. Hello, isn't this wonderful? No. But it says in verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, and look at, she went out to see, and what does he do? He sees her. There's a lot of things that we're seeing, but they're going by their senses and not going by faith. They're going by what they look at, by what they see. He was enamored with her. He took her and he lay with her and defiled her. Isn't it sad? The prince of the country is so full of lust that when he sees a woman, he rapes her. And he's the leader of, one of the leaders of the country. Very sick. And his soul clave unto Dinah, the daughter of Jacob. And he loved the damsel. He didn't love her. He just lusted after her. And he spoke kindly to the damsel. Isn't that nice of him? He rapes her and then he speaks nice to her. Really? Is that how we show love? Oh. And Shechem spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife. You notice what's also broken down? The relationship between father and son. The son is telling the father what to do. Hey, Dad, go get me this woman. A sad place that we enter into. And if Jacob did not come to this land, he's 30 miles away from Bethel, where he stops. If he'd have gone 30 more miles, like the Lord told him, he might not have had to go through this. And we do. But if I'd only done this, but if I've only done that, and we all go through that, don't we? As we sit there and look at our past and we go, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't done this. But you know what? If you have the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, as you see what he's done on the cross, then you have forgiveness for that, and you don't have to dwell in that. You don't have to stay there and say, I only wish. It's done. It's over with. We press on towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't stay in the past. We know there's bitterness. We know there's hurt in those things, but let God heal you. Don't sit there and say, well, God can't heal me because I did rotten things. Then why did he die on the cross? If he died on the cross just to get us to heaven and not heal the hurts that we have now, what kind of a salvation is that? Because didn't he say he was going to save us from everything? And he can save you from your own heart, from your own disappointments. Let's go beyond. Let's move forward. Let's not stay still. And I know we're in a place where it's easy to stay still. It's comfortable to stay still. But we can't stay still. We have to go on. Because if you don't go on, Jesus is already going forward. If you're not going on, you're kind of left behind. Not spiritually, not for eternity, but for right now. And don't you want to enjoy his presence right now? Oh, Lord, help us. Please help us in the midst of all this. And he's in a bad land. He's in a bad country. But God is going to do a work in Jacob's heart, in the family's heart, and in our hearts, hopefully. So Shechem, it says in verse 4, spake to his dad, said, Dad, go get me this woman. And Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his cattle in the field, and Jacob held his peace until they were come. Really? Oh, you touch my daughters, you touch my wife, I got something to say. Death? Well, I don't know about death. Yeah. And David was kind of in that same place in Psalm 39. It says this in verse 1. It says, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Certainly didn't want to sin with his tongue and speak those things that were there. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. Kind of sounds where Jacob should be, right? While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am, so that I can get before you and get things right. We don't see Jacob doing that. And boy, how many times have we entered into those same places and we try and keep our tongues, but we don't go to God with it. We just try and keep ourselves down when God is the one that wants to do it, to show us how powerful, how strong he is. And David says, I need to know how frail I am so that I can keep my focus before you. And if the king of Israel, of God's chosen people, can do that, how much more should you and I do that? And sometimes we come to those places where we just want to lash out, where we just want to speak our mind and tell them what's up. And we have a right to do that, right? Everybody in America is now entitled to say whatever they want to say, except if you say the wrong things that the government says you shouldn't be saying. That doesn't include Christianity. You can't say what you want to say. This girl in East Sussex couldn't say what she wanted to say, even though it was right and true and real. No, you have to go to a different school, and that might be the best thing for her, to walk with the Lord in the place that was right. And, you know, since COVID hit and parents started seeing what the teachers were really teaching their kids, there's been a 61% increase in homeschoolers. Gee, I wonder if some parents are getting the message. And these aren't all Christian people. They just realize, I don't want my kids taught this stuff. I want to be taught what's true and real and right. I don't need to learn about life education. I need to know how to add and subtract. Isn't it terrible when you go to a store and the cashier can't count the change? And they look at you and go, how much do you get back? And if the register doesn't tell them how much you get back, they're in real trouble. As you sit there seeing them watch, man, oh, and then they can give you change. Or if they graduate and they can't spell their names. We are now a third world country. We just haven't realized it yet. We are so dumbed down. We were with some folks the other day, and she's from Haiti, and it said that the graduation rate in Haiti is greater than the graduation rate in Rochester. Isn't that an encouragement? Because Haiti is so disjointed and so all over the place, still from the earthquake and everything that had gone on years ago, 2-3 years ago, that hardly any of the kids are in school, but their graduation rate is bigger than the graduation rate in Rochester. We are in a sad place. Jacob's in a sad place. You know what? Some of our hearts are in a sad place. We can't certainly sit here and point fingers and say, them. We have to sit there and say, me. This is my heart. This is what's wrong with me. I'm not before you, Lord. I'm trying to do what I want, and I'm in the wrong place. You told me to get out of here. You told me. I'm not telling you to get out of here. I like talking to people while I'm here. You know, it would be bad if this was empty like COVID when you're doing sermons and nobody's there. But here he is in that place, keeping his peace. And it says in verse 6, and Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. And the sons of Jacob came out of the field when they heard it, and the men were very grieved, no kidding. And they were very wroth, because he had wrought folly in Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which thing ought not to be done. Isn't it amazing? They've wrought folly in Israel. Do you notice what's going on? This is just one family. It's not a country, but they're already realizing, they're taking a hold of the promise that God gave them, that you're going to be a father of many nations. And the kids are already taking a hold of it. Jacob still hasn't got there, because remember, the Lord's still calling him Jacob here. He's not calling him Israel. He's going to do that in a minute. He's already talked to him once about it. He didn't get it. Does that remind you of yourself? I mean, how many times have you read the Ten Commandments and you still sit there and go, how come that's in there? How come I can't do it? How come I don't want to do it? It's not that we can't do it. We don't want to do it. The flesh is willing, the spirit's weak. We want to do it, but we can't until the power of the Holy Spirit comes in us and grabs a hold of us and gives us the power then to do it. It's his work. Trust him. But wrought folly in Israel. And they don't learn much from history, do they? In 2 Samuel 13, listen to what it says there. Ammon is coming, and he's got his sister Tamar to come to his house. he's deceived her because he wants to rape her. And it says this, that she answers him. Just for time's sake, we won't go through the whole thing, but she answered and said, "Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel." There we go again. Do not do this folly. The same wording that's used here, used back in Genesis. They haven't learned. The men, the leaders of the country that should know better, don't know better, because they don't have a relationship with the Lord. That's why it's so important for each and every one of us to have a relationship. You cannot get to heaven on your parents' salvation. You need to have your own. You can't get to heaven because you feel good about yourself, because you're affirming yourself, because you feel positive about what's going on. It has to be because God is going to save you and touch you. Walk with the King today and be a blessing. So it says, Hamor communed with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem longeth for your daughter. I pray you give her him to wife, and make ye marriages with us, and give us your daughters unto us, and take our daughters unto you. And you shall dwell with us, and the land shall be before you. Dwell, and trade ye therein, and get you possessions therein." Notice what isn't said. Sometimes it's better to look at what isn't said. It doesn't say anything about the Lord. Doesn't say anything about the blessings of the Lord or what the Lord wants. It just says, "This is what we want you to do, and we'll make you rich." It's all about the money. It's all about prospering. It has nothing to do with the relationship with the Lord. You know what? Sometimes as Christians, we are not here to prosper financially. We're here to prosper in the riches of who God is and what he's like. But not all of you are going to be rich. And it kind of takes people back. What? Well, what good is God then? Well, let's see. I get to go to heaven rather than hell. I get to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb rather than burning in hell. Okay, I think there's some benefits that go on here. And yet people don't want to look at those things. And sometimes our own hearts don't want to look at those things. I'd rather do what's in front of me rather than what God wants me to do. And sometimes there's those corrective things that the Lord brings our way. And this is going to be one of those corrective things, because for believers, we don't get the penalty of sin, because the penalty of sin is death. But it tells us in Romans that there's judgments that come upon us, and some of them are for correction. Some of those are for instruction. The Lord used those with his disciples often, the corrective and the instructive ones. For others who didn't know him, there was the penalty that was going to come to them, and the penalty is death. But if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Lord is either going to correct you or instruct you. It doesn't mean we're going to be without some of these things coming upon us, but we have to find out, am I in the right place with the Lord, and am I doing what the Lord has told me to do? And if I'm not, I need to ask for forgiveness and to go forward. If I am, like Job, he was doing everything okay. He got 10 kids. His 10 kids were killed and destroyed before him. And he said, "Naked I came into this world, and naked I'll go out. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And Scripture says, in all this, he did not sin against God. And it wasn't that he was oblivious. It wasn't that he was without things that were going to happen to him. But he knew that he and God were okay. And because of that, he could say that. Because otherwise, he would have said, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done, and help me to have that forgiveness and to walk forward." So we need to know where we are with the Lord when these things come to pass, because we're all going to be in those places where we enter in and we realize something has gone on. I know I told you last week, my brother got killed when he was 13. My dad carried him to the house as I watched him. And it wasn't because my parents were in the wrong place, but the Lord was going to bring instruction to them on who he was. And they got stronger because of that in the things of the Lord. It took my mom a while. I didn't see her for a while, but she grew. And like I said, at the end, just before she died, I would go over when I got saved finally, and we'd have communion together and talk about the things of the Lord. So some of these things are for correction. That we're in the wrong place. This is certainly for Jacob. Jacob, you're in the wrong place. You need to move. And sometimes they're instructive. that this is what I want to do in your heart with the people that are around you. This correction that he's going to have right now is because the Lord has already told him something not once, but a couple of times, and he still hasn't done it. Is there anything in your life where God has spoken to you for sure, and you're still not there? And don't say you can't, because you already know my argument. You can, you just don't want to. Oh, and I just don't want to. And we go, well, Lord, if my kids have been better, it's my fault. No, your kids have their own ways. They are responsible when they reach that place of making their own decisions on this matter. You can't take the blame for how your kids are. Certainly, we might have done things better. And I don't think there's one of us here that raised our children completely perfectly. If you have, please come see me so I can write a book. Because I didn't, and I still don't. But God, who's rich in mercy, can. So let's just move on from here. We've been long enough in this place. We need to go on. So Shechem, in verse 11, said unto her father and to her brethren, let me find grace in your eyes, and what ye shall say unto me I will give. Ask me never so much dowry and gift, and I will give according as you shall say unto me, but give me the damsel to wife. And the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor his father deceitfully. These are the Christians, right? Just because you're in church doesn't mean you're perfect. But we certainly want to look in that direction, don't we? We don't want to sit there and say, I'm perfect, I'm okay, and whatever I do is perfect and perfectly okay with God. No, it isn't. He's going to bring instruction and correction to you. And these guys are going to do it. They answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully and said, because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. They're going by their emotions and not going by the truth of God's word. No matter how close it hits home, we still have no excuse for entering into sin, because God is able to keep us and God is able to give us the right heart at the right time. Why do you think Jesus can sit there on the cross as they've nailed him to the cross, put nails through his hands, through his feet, put the thorns through his head, and he can sit there and say, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do? Oh, that takes a lifetime of learning and growing and developing and practicing and discipline, doesn't it? That's why we're called disciples of Christ. We're learning. We're growing. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing, in verse 14, to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach to us. But in this will we consent unto you, if you will be as we are. Would you want to be as they are? They're sitting there lying through their teeth at him, and they go, be like me. No, don't be like me. You are never the example. I am never the example. He's the example. The bar has not lowered. Jesus is the example. Jesus is the bar that we attain to. And he's not going to dumb down his bar to pass you on to the next grade. Then, verse 16, we will give our daughter unto you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you, and we will become one people. Oh, so much for separation. But you know what? An outward sign of being okay doesn't do any work on the inside. Getting circumcised does not take care of the heart issue that says I'm a sinner in need of salvation. And if I get circumcised, I'm okay with God. It doesn't make it. It's the inward work that God wants to do. It's not the outward. But if you will not hearken unto us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and we will be gone. And their words pleased Hamor and Shechem, Hamor's son. And the young men deferred not to do the thing because he had delight in Jacob's daughter, and he was more honorable than all the house of his father. Isn't that great? He's more honorable, so he's got to be saved. He's got to be going to heaven, right? Wait a second. He raped a girl. He's doing all these things. He has no care for God. He just wants to get into the family. He wants to do whatever he needs to do. And he's more honorable than the rest of them. Can you imagine what that country was like? It's probably America. And Hamor and Shechem, his son, came to the gate of their city and communed with the men of the city. This amazes me. It's almost laughable if it wasn't so serious and so dumb. It's almost like telling people that you can change from being a man or a woman to being whatever you want to be, even if it's a cat. And yet we'll believe it in America. Trouble is, God's still the same. He doesn't change. And he made you perfectly right the way that you are. These men are peaceable with us, they say in verse 21. Therefore, let them dwell in the land and trade therein, for the land, behold, it is large enough for them. And let us take their daughters to us for wives, and let us give them our daughters. Only herein will the men consent unto us for to dwell with us, to be one people. If every male among us be circumcised as they are circumcised. That's a great offer, isn't it? And the guys of the city go along with this. Hello, there's no thought. But when deception comes in, there's no thought in the country to what's right or wrong or good or bad. It's all, if there's a benefit for me, I'll do it. And that is so sad when we can't think, when we can't have reason, when we can't have truth, that will go along with a lie. Shall not their cattle and their substance and every beast be ours? Let's consent to them, and they'll dwell with us. And unto Hamor and unto Shechem his son hearkened all that went out of the gate of his city, and every male was circumcised, all that went out of the gate of his city. And it came to pass in the third day when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, so these are all Leah's kids, not all of them, but these are part of Leah's kids. And you wonder what's going on with Leah, how this happened to just her part of the family, not sure. But you can do with it what you want. Dig into it. But they took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. You know what's amazing about God's grace? There's forgiveness with it. Look at who's involved in this. Levi. What's going to come out of Levi? The priesthood. Really? Maybe there's a better choice. Amazing. But when God forgives, then you can enter into a different place and be a different person than what you used to be before you came to salvation, before you came to a place of walking. And we can't look at people's pasts and say, because of your past, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. If that were the case, there wouldn't be one convert to God's kingdom, because we're all sinners and we all fall short of the glory of God. We all have a past, and it's not good. But we also all have a future. You can't just look at what you're being saved from, the past, but you need to look forward to what you're being saved to. And because of what we're being saved to in eternity in heaven with Jesus, then we can walk better than we used to walk before. And that certainly that's the encouragement for us, is to have that change in our hearts. Lord, whatever you want to say to us. Help our hearts, Lord. So they slew Hamor and Shechem, his son, with the edge of the sword and took Dinah out of Shechem's house. In other words, she's still in the house. She's still in that place. And you wonder what's going on in her and with her and for her, the abuse that the world's pouring upon her. They come and rescue her. The sons of Jacob came on the slain and spoiled the city because they had defiled their sister. This is a sad thing, too. The church goes in. They kill men that aren't guilty of anything. And they spoil the city. They take all the riches out of the city. What are they doing? They're getting gain for themselves. They're saying one thing, and out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying something else. They're saying, we're doing this for our sister's honor. And then they go in and take all the money for themselves. They're heaping riches upon themselves. Not the riches of God, but the riches of the world. They weren't looking for God's hand to be upon this. They're looking for themselves. And yet God in his grace is going to save these guys and use them as the 12 patriarchs of Israel. And if he can do that with them, what can he do with you? Can he save you from your past? Can he save you from your present? Yes, and he wants to. We just need to get our hearts before him, because otherwise we're going to be 7 years without praying, 7 years without having an altar, 7 years without worship, 7 years with no mention of God. And he's already spent 20 years doing that. Talk about lost years. And we look, Lord, I lost 32 years before I got saved. And I've lost some more in between doing my own stuff. And we think, Lord, what do you want me for? It's because I love you. And my son Jesus died for you. And I've got grace for you right now in the place that you are right now. Even if you think that I can't love you because of what I'm doing right now, God says, I have grace for you, and I can forgive you right now for that, and we can get back in fellowship. Ugh. And that is so sweet. What a picture this is. What a chapter. It's an awful chapter, but boy, it certainly does show grace, doesn't it? Because if there was no grace, we'd have no hope. We're saved by grace through faith. If there was no grace, where would we be? We wouldn't know anything about the Lord, and we wouldn't want him. But thank goodness for his grace, that he doesn't overlook it, because Jesus paid the penalty for it. And we're going to take communion soon and find that out and remember what he's done for us, that we can have a future. So they took all their wealth, all their little ones, their wives. They took captive and spoiled all that was in the house. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, and here comes Dad. Notice the name that the Lord puts in here, Jacob. He doesn't say Israel, because Israel means governed by God. What does Jacob mean? Dirty, sneaky thief trying to get your own way, walking in the world, walking in the ways of the world, and trying to be a Christian and looking like you might be, but not really. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. You already stink, Jacob, don't worry. Among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, and they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house. In this one verse, he talks about himself 8 times. Who do you think he's concerned about? He's not concerned about his kids. He's not concerned about his wives. He's not concerned about all the men that were killed wrongly. He's concerned because I look bad. And boy, as parents, remember that when you're disciplining your kids. You made me look bad, I'm going to whoop you. Oh, it isn't about us. We need to be careful of how we represent the Lord. Because remember, we started out Genesis by showing what, that we're image bearers of who God is. And if we're going to be image bearers, we need to find out what he looks like so that we can look like that. We're imitators of Christ. We're disciples of Christ. We're learning. We're growing. But thank goodness there's forgiveness with him, that we can go on from where we are and get better. And one day, you're going to be perfect. Not here. But there. But wouldn't it be great if we could get a little better than what we are right now? I'd love to stand here before you and say, I haven't sinned all week. I'd like to be able to get up before you and say, I haven't sinned in the last 10 minutes. I'd be a liar, so that's wrong. And they said, should he deal with our sister as with a harlot? Such a sad thing. I know we haven't gone long, but we're beyond. But Psalm 130 verse 4 says this, if you're taking notes and you want to look at these later, it says, but there is forgiveness with thee that you may be feared. And there's a common theme with all of these. In Acts 26 verse 18, it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, because if we're walking in sin, we're in darkness. We need to see the light so that we can see what sin really is, what our hearts are really saying. To deliver them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, that they may. There's a choice there. We can be forgiven of sins if we come to him and ask. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In Ephesians 1:7, it says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not your grace, not the world's grace, his grace. And we're in that place where we need his forgiveness. Because as much as we want to represent Christ, we know that we falter, we know that we fail, but thank goodness there's forgiveness with him. And he wants to take you out of darkness and bring you into the light of truth, the light of the right way to go, the light of the right place to be. But that takes a seeking of who he is. Lord, help me to take some time today to seek your heart, to know who you are in the way that you act, so that I don't act like me, I act like you. And you don't want me to act like me. You want me to act like him. Kath is over there going, it would be great to have a day like that. But isn't it sweet that he loves you that much, the creator of all the world, of everything that's there? Can you create a tree and make apples grow on it, or pears, or peaches? Can you make a rose bush that smells so good you can smell it for feet away? You just, oh, a lilac tree in the spring as you go by, and you just kind of, oh, can you do that? But we've got a God that can. And if he can do that, he can forgive you. Yeah. Wade Shirt, I can't, but I know who can. You've got a God that loves you. So let's prepare our hearts to take communion and remember him. Father, we're just so thankful that you have forgiveness for us, Lord. And Father, we accept it. We want it. We want that forgiveness. We want to know that we're forgiven. We want to know that we're loved. We want to know that we're accepted in the Beloved. We want to know that we're accepted by you. And Lord, show us how to get to the fullness of that. Not just to know it outwardly, but to know it inwardly. And to have the truth of that in our lives, where we can walk in that all the time. So, Father, be with us, Lord. Thank you for the folks here, just for their attention, just for their grace, that they haven't stoned me yet. But thank you, Father, that we have your attention, because your eyes are fixed upon us. You love us. You want us to know the forgiveness that you have for us because of the price that Jesus paid on the cross for us. So, Lord, let us reason those things together in our hearts as we take time before you, so that we can know that we are forgiven and walk in the truth of that as we remember what you've done. So minister to our hearts as we just sit before you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just come and we remember, Lord, what you've done for us. We hold the tokens in our hand and we know it's for a remembrance. The bread, holes in it, scarred, burned. Just talking about the stripes you received, the nail holes in your hand, your side, your feet. where the crown of thorns went into your head. We have the cup, remembering your blood that was poured out for us, Lord, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so you poured your blood out for us because ours wouldn't sustain us. Ours wouldn't complete that sacrifice, wouldn't bring forgiveness for the sin, but yours did. It was holy blood. It was righteous. Every part of you, righteous and holy. And yet you took upon yourself the sin of the world so that we could be forgiven and know that forgiveness. We thank you, Lord. May we remember it, and may it change the way that we think, the way that we act, Lord. Certainly Jacob did some things wrong, Lord, but so have we. We've been in the wrong place, and things have happened because we were in the wrong place, doing the wrong things. But thank you that there is forgiveness there, Lord. Thank you for the example that you bring in your word. May we reflect, and may we know the truth of who you are, your God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, who's come to forgive our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. And that you brought us from darkness to the light to show us what sin does, what sin looks like, so that we can avoid it and not enter in. Help us with that, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.